everybody. I'm Dr. Deb, and welcome to another episode of PTSD and Beyond. Welcome to the PTSD and Beyond podcast, where we give you insights into post-traumatic stress, trauma recovery, healing, and beyond. I'm Dr. Deb Lind, and in each episode, I have a conversation with a guest who will stimulate your mind, touch your heart, and connect with your spirit, and also give you a greater understanding of yourself and others on this healing and recovery journey walked by so many of us before, wounded healers with lived experience and heroes. Hopefully, we'll also provide a glimpse into possibilities and purpose, hope, and inspiration. Thanks for listening and enjoy the podcast. One last thing, guys, before we dive into today's episode, if you'd like an ad-free experience and like early access to new episodes and special events, I want to let you know you can join us at patreon.com. That is patreon.com/PTSD and beyond. All right, let's do it. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Deb here with PTSD and Beyond. Actually, I'm recording this episode the day before Mother's Day. And today, when you're listening to it, is Mother's Day in the United States. And I decided that I was going to do a recording of a podcast episode and share a bit about my story. Now, why am I doing this? Because I made a promise, that's why. I made a promise, and to this day, I would say my story doesn't really matter. And what difference is it going to make? Now, what's interesting about those two thoughts are this person was extremely adamant in saying, you need to do this. So I want to take this opportunity to share a few things. And who knows? Who knows? Maybe there's going to be some healing during this episode, a breakthrough. I don't know. Anything's possible. But I do think that while I have a platform and while people do listen to this podcast all over the world, that maybe, I'm not saying I'm closed off to it, obviously, because I'm here. But maybe the insights I want to share today will resonate with a person, will make sense, and maybe even be helpful to somebody else. I want to talk about Mother's Day. Mother's Day is still difficult for me. You can hear it in my voice. My voice is straining. And Mother's Day used to be a very, very difficult for me. What made Mother's Day difficult was all of the feelings and emotions of the realization of exactly who my mother really is. Not who I wanted her to be, not who I made her to be, but who she actually truly is. And when I had kids, that realization hurt even more because I could not imagine myself as a mother to repeat, whether in action or in words, in energy and emotion, the same that my mother did to me. I could never say to my children, especially when they were little, things like, you know, spiders eat their young. My mother would repeat this, you know, and it would scare the shit out of me. And what it made me think about was when I was a kid, a little girl, that if I didn't behave, then my mother was going to eat me. And I think that she knew that.
I do. The story of Hansel and Gretel used to scare me too, because I thought that maybe my mom could put me in the oven. So when my kids were, you know, really little, I didn't want to celebrate Mother's Day. I didn't want to acknowledge Mother's Day because it was so hard for me. And it wasn't until the kid's dad said, you're depriving your children of the enjoyment of celebrating their mother. And that really affected me. It affected me in the way of I was hurting my children because I was hurting because of my mom. And I wouldn't allow my mom to take that joy away. She had already taken away so many things. So what I needed to do was I needed to acknowledge my emotions related to my mother, and then also find a way to put them someplace so I could enjoy celebrating me, celebrating that I get to be a mom, celebrating my children wanting to celebrate. And I want to say something. On my desk, I have a bunch of different trinkets. Sometimes we're going to try to figure out how to do the video pieces for the podcast. But if you're ever part of our Zoom community, you'll notice that behind me is a bookshelf, and I have on certain shelves things that my kids have made. And one thing that's on my desk is from one of my children. It's their hands were painted, and they put their hands on a flower planter, a terracotta, you know, planter. And it says, "Thanks for helping me grow. Happy Mother's Day." And I keep things, you know, like probably most parents, except mine. Actually, one of them. I keep things, you know, that the kids have made, because it's reminds me of when they were little, and also how excited they were to give me these things. But how excited my children were to, celebrate Mommy's Day. Now they're older, and they still do, which is wonderful. I find fascinating, and I say fascinating in the sense of sometimes I look at myself outside, and I'm a researcher looking in. It's part of my training in OD. Or the scientist, or the researcher, or the experiment, or the patient, or the consultant, or all of it. And I find it fascinating that to this day, I still have awareness moments that I didn't have before. So the development of, I would say, the aha, the depth of understanding and clarity has deepened. So a couple days ago, I was really bothered by the thought of Mother's Day coming up. And I kept saying to myself, why is this bothering me? Like, what has happened? You know, and I, again, as a researcher, you know, you're asking questions, probing questions to identify an underlying root cause. And I kept saying to myself, why does this bother me? What happened? Was there something that set me off or was reactive? There was nothing that I could put my finger on to say, oh, there it is. At that time. See, what I have found is that usually there is something that we can actually pinpoint and say, that moment right there was a catalyst to what brought me to a reaction, for example. That moment brought me to this reaction. And I did. I was able to identify a situation that happened, and I said to myself, you don't know You don't know what happened. All you know is what you know. But you don't know anything else than that. I could sit here and speculate. I could hypothesize. I could start ruminating. And I said to myself, you don't know. But you do know your reaction to it. You do know the feelings that it's bringing up. This is how I talk to myself. I do. You do know the reaction in your body and where you're harboring these feelings. And I kept saying to myself, but can you name it? Can you name it? Can you name it? See, one of the other key works that I try to do to understand is, and again, have that depth, right? That depth of clarity is if I can name something. What is this? If I was to define it in one word, what is the word that it's linked to? It's not reaction, okay? The reaction is a subcategory of a main category. So what is it? And it took me a couple days, and then I finally realized what the word was. Now, in the meanwhile, the other thing that I told myself is you have to take care of yourself. So I've made certain promises to myself when I experience these thoughts and emotions, because I want to heal. I want to heal. I made myself a promise when I was 16, and I want to honor that promise. So these are some things that I knew. I knew that something happened. It got a reaction. Mother's Day was coming up. It makes me very sensitive, in the sense of, you know, even to the point where I actually say to my friends, I'm feeling very sensitive right now, because of the upcoming Mother's Day. So I want to ask for clarification so I understand, or I want to make sure that, you know, I'm fill in the blank. So taking care of myself, I told myself, got to take care of yourself. Make sure you're good to yourself. Sometimes that means I can take a day off. And sometimes it means I can't take a day off. And I need to move slowly. I even posted this on Twitter, that movement needs to be slowed down. There's a technique called SPS. Slow movements. Then a pause for like 10 seconds, 10 to 20 seconds. And then you resume the slow pace. Because if I move fast, it'll amplify everything. If I push myself, forget it. It just amplifies and shit spirals. So I need to move and in slow, slow, slow. I think that's one of the things that I like about yin yoga, is that it's different and it forces you to slow down. And you're still like Tai Chi. You're still in a flow and you're still very mindful and present, but you're moving slower to get your nervous system to calm itself down and to regulate itself, as well as the pause. So the pause is important because the pause is a check-in to say, okay, do I need to stop for a moment? And even deepen that slow motion. I'm still breathing, so I'm still moving. But my body is stationary. My body is stationary. And it's still moving, though, because you're breathing, your lungs are, you know, your chest is expanding. So it's not as if, you know, you're holding your breath and you're just like, you know, a statue. Your body's still moving. It still has movement. And then you resume. You resume even more slow motion. And that helps. It helps with, you know, getting my nervous system to regulate. And the other thing that I was mindful of, too, is my hands. My hands are dry. So I was like, all right, this is an even more deeper development. My hands are dry. I was anxious. I could identify what happened, the root cause. Now can I name it? Oh my gosh, why am I laughing? Because I can't imagine the person who's listening right now going, holy buckets, that's what you do? Yes. Yes, that's exactly what I do. I'm sharing with you exactly what I do. And naming it. Can I name it? Yes, I could name it. Now, I just want to tell you something. Sometimes when we name it, it doesn't mean like, you know, the sky parts and the sun comes out. Sometimes you name it, you identify what the name is, and it actually brings more pain and suffering. I'm grateful, though, that I'm able to do it as much as it hurts, because I know that there's another side of that rainbow. Yep, there's another side of the cloud, which is a rainbow. So yeah, so naming it, the name, abandonment. Abandonment, because the thoughts that I had were things that she has said, like I mentioned about, you know, spiders eat their young. I should have been like Ann Seal, who never had children. That was the reference. I should have been like Ann Seal. I wish that I would have never had children. I wish that you were never born. You are dead to me. All of those statements are extremely hurtful to a child. Even, you know, hurtful to an adult child. And the abandonment factor on Mother's Day. I couldn't imagine. I can't imagine being like that to my kids. I can't imagine being like her. I can't. So now I just want to say something. As we're talking right now, my hands are a little moist because yes, that affects me greatly. Abandonment. And I want you to understand that with my journey where I'm at right now, I don't have the thoughts like I used to, which were, why wasn't I good enough? I think those, when you have a thought of, why wasn't I good enough, that's something that's a child, very, very, very childlike. And it doesn't mean a bad thing. It just means, what I mean by very childlike is the innocence of a child to think that there must have been something so wrong with them for their own mother to abandon them. Because kids think in simplistic terms. They don't think, you know, they don't have the capacity to think critically like an adult. Do kids say things that are really profound and wise? Yes. To have the thought, though, why wasn't I good enough? If I was good enough, then you wouldn't be like that, right? I don't have those thoughts anymore. The abandonment piece that I experienced a few days ago was me. I can't even fathom being like her and behaving to my children how she behaved to me. I can't. And then I had another awareness moment, which was, you're judging her based on who you are. And she's not you. Because if she was, then she would have been a cycle breaker. And she's not. She's an abuser. Now, there's a word that I find interesting, which is different. We're different. Are we? Is that what it would be called? Different? I don't think it's different. I can't say that it's different. No. What's different are an apple and orange. That's different. Different pieces of fruit. I think that the word different softens the, what do I want to say? It softens the moral, the moral wrongdoing, I suppose. But it does. It softens it. It softens the justification. And that's incorrect. That's incorrect. That person is completely capable of making choices and decisions and has chose to abuse. Chose to say things, chose to deliberately inflict harm, chose to threaten, chose to withhold information. So many things, deliberately and intentionally, only to inflict harm. That's not a normal person. That's not a healthy, normal individual. But to go back to my original reason for doing this is to share a little bit about my story, my journey, some of the things that I do, how do I help myself, and what is the other side look like? So I've named it, I understand it, I have a deeper understanding of it, and then I even had a further awareness and understanding of, I'm judging her based on who I am, and she's not me. It's not that she's incapable of being like me or being people like us. It's a choice. It's a choice. I can remember one time, too, her saying, I'm the mother I outrule, and I'm never going to change. And I won't even say it in the tone that she said it in. Abandonment. Abandonment and neglect. Mm-hmm. I could not imagine abandoning my children or neglecting them like that. Nope. And I don't say it in a righteous way. I say it in a, it would hurt me so deeply that I just, there's just no way. No. Now, with Mother's Day, I also take care of my inner child. So I've had a talk with the little me to listen to them and to comfort them with those thoughts. Because if my kids were hurting like that, well, hurting, they wouldn't be hurting like that because I wouldn't do that to them. If they were hurting, I mean, what do? You console your children. You hug them, you hold them. You stroke their hair. You, if they're older, you listen to them. You might hold their hands. You show affection. You listen. You tell them how much you love them. And they feel safe. They feel safe with you. And they know that they can come to you. Because you're their mom. Yeah, their mom. There are some other awarenesses that I've had with this experience too, such as I couldn't imagine not knowing my child. But then again, I mean, she's got adoptive kids and a, you know, totally new life, right? So, you know, out of sight, out of mind, right? Actually, no. Not out of sight, out of mind. Out of sight, out of mind temporarily. I've been with enough people before they've passed away. And the moment where the person knows that this is it, there are all kinds of experiences. And, you know, you can't escape that moment. So while I'm out of sight, out of mind temporarily, at some point in the juncture of life, the conscious mind can no longer fool the subconscious. And that can be very haunting for a person before they know they're going to take their last breath. Because I've seen that too. So, can't imagine missing out on my kid's life. I can't. And I just can't imagine it. Because what's interesting too about the narcissistic individual is that the very thing that they want, which is love and acceptance and family and connection, is the very thing that they destroy. The very thing that they want is the very thing that they destroy. There was another episode that we did, and it was about success. What is success? You know, I've got a pretty simple life. And yet, I think it's pretty successful. It's successful because I can look at myself, and yes, while there are moments and times where I still struggle, those moments are few. And to keep that promise to the 16-year-old self, that's a success. To be a cycle breaker and to have the motto, "This stops with me," and to give your legacy a clean slate, that's a success. To be able to do things that I was once opposed to, which is, you know, celebrating Mother's Day. Yes, that's a success. You know what else is a success? I did not speak until I was 3 years old. And now look at, I got a podcast. You know, even if nobody listens to this episode, it's still a success. Because the words and the message can be hopeful and help someone else. See, it is helping me. It is helping me because it's not staying inside. It's not harboring. I'll tell you, I kid you not. Friday was yesterday. So I'm recording this on Saturday. It's going to be launched on Sunday. Thursday, oh my gosh. Thursday was a day that I was just like, what? Really? I can laugh about it now. And you know what? Being able to look back and laugh at it, that's a success. You know why it's a success? First of all, it's because you can laugh at it. But guys, I kid you not, when I first started this healing journey, I can remember being out for 2 weeks, and just flat out not functioning. And I had little kids, you know, they were little. You can't lay on the couch for 2 weeks. I knew something was really wrong. It's not like me to lay around. And that's a success, to take the first step, to say, I kid you not, I remember when I was 16 years old, I got into that car accident and I woke up from my parents yelling and screaming at each other and my father saying, "God damn it," and he said her name, "we almost lost her." See, my head hit the passenger side window and it cracked it. I was not wearing a seatbelt. We didn't wear seatbelts back then. And the car was a half a car. A Cadillac hit it. Anyway, I don't know. I shouldn't have lived. I mean, the doctor was telling me that I was a miracle, and I didn't feel like a miracle, but I heard what my mother said. I heard what she said. And you know, when someone says things over and over again, like, "I wish you were never born," "I wish I would have never had kids," you know, you start thinking like, yeah, I should just die. Why am I still alive? Those thoughts came to my mind when I was a kid. Of course they did. Why am I still here? She never actually said, you know, "I want you to die." That was never directly said. It was indirectly inferred, right? It was. So to hear what she said in that conversation, was all she cared about was the fucking car. She did not care about my life. She didn't. She did not. And that was very clear to me, laying in bed at 16 years old with a concussion from getting in a car accident when my head cracked the freaking side window. And I said to myself, I did. I made a promise to myself laying there. But to hear her say it, to hear her say what I always knew, but to hear her fucking say it in her own words, that is not a healthy, normal person, and that is not a healthy, normal mom. I was not a healthy, normal mom. And my heart hurts for others out there who have a similar mother, because we deserved better. What do kids want? Doesn't matter all around the world, any culture. What do kids want? They want their mom and dad to be proud of them, and they want their mom and dad to love them. That's it. That's it. Should be proud of me and love me. That's it. Kids are cool, man. They teach us so much. But that was a person. She was right when she said, "Should have never had kids." Fucking right, you should have never had kids. But you did, because society expected her to. Her family expected her to. The marriage expected her to. But that person was not, and is not, a mom. They're not. It's not a healthy, normal mom. And yes, there are people tomorrow who are going to, and again, I'm recording this the day before, so people on Mother's Day who still have a relationship with their narcissistic, abusive mother, and how hard that is. How hard and how, I don't say hurtful, it is hurtful, but how damaging it is. And then there are people who are mourning the loss of their mom because maybe they've passed on. Actually, there might be some relief. I have to say that I see more people openly and willingly to say how relieved they feel when their narcissistic mother passes on. Now, I've asked myself that question. How am I going to feel? And I don't really know. But what I can say is that there are other people tomorrow who have gone no contact, who I hope to gosh you guys do something really kind for yourself. Be the mother to your inner self that you've always deserved. And I'm going to say that one again. Be the mother to your inner self, to your inner child that you deserved and deserve. So whether, I don't know, you play with Barbie dolls or cars, or maybe, I don't know, whatever it is that you always wish you could do with your mom, do those things. Do those things for yourself. And if you can't do it on Mother's Day, look online and plan it out. Yes. You know what I'm going to do for myself? I'm going to paint my nails. See, if I had a relationship with a healthy mom, we would have a spa day. We would go to the spa and then have a really nice lunch and just enjoy being with each other. That's what we'd do. Yeah. Just some girl time. Mm-hmm. I think that sounds like fun. So I'm going to give myself a manicure. And again, to people that are out there, I want to tell you something. You are a success. And why? To acknowledge the person who is your mom, who is your mother, to see them for who they are. That takes guts to do that. It's not something lightly to do. And again, I encourage you to parent, to mother your inner child, your inner self. Because everybody deserves to be loved. And everybody deserves a healthy mom who loves them and who says, I love you. And who means it, doesn't use it to manipulate, but who actually means it out of kindness and affection, out of motherly love for something that they created. And yeah, the approval of a mom. Absolutely. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. You're a beautiful, wonderful person. And if I happen to meet you at Starbucks, I'd be like, wow, that's a really cool kid. Even if you're 50. And I'm beyond 50. We'll save that for another episode. So yeah, there's part of my story and some thoughts for Mother's Day. And I gotta tell you something. I need to end the recording. Why? Because I know there's some people that are wondering. I did say, hey, mom's going to go in the office and do a recording. But I get to spend time with my kids. I get to spend time with them and to love them and to tell them that I love them and to show them that I love them. I get to be the cycle breaker. I get to put the line in the sand. I get to draw that line and say, this stops with me. All right, you guys, this is Dr. Deb with PTSD and Beyond. Thank you so much for being here with me and for us sharing this moment together. If you want to drop me a line on what you thought, or maybe you want to share some of your thoughts, drop me a line at drdeb@ptsdandbeyond.org or hit that subscribe button. Put a comment in there. And remember, we're going to get through this because we're better together. We're stronger together. and take what resonates and go beyond.